Well, we're studying church history, and we're almost up to the Reformation. Jacob, to start our class off tonight, would you like to ask a question? Huh? Would you like to do that? What's your question? What's your question?
What is
Jesus really born on Christmas?
What was the question?
Was Jesus really born on Christmas?
Was he really born on Christmas Day? Not on Christmas Day. But he was born probably in the fall of the year. Probably in September or October. Jesus was really born. Jesus really came into the world. And what does Jesus mean? Do you know? Who knows what Jesus means? Dakota, you know what the word Jesus means?
Joshua.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not Jesus. That's Jehovah.
Jehovah.
All right.
The word Joshua you mean, or the word Jesus?
Jesus.
Forgotten that.
Huh?
I forgot that.
Jesus say,
Jehovah saves. It's also Yahshua. All right. Joshua and Jesus means Jehovah saves. Jesus was really born. The Catholic Church did a couple of things in history. A lot of things in history. Lots of things. But one of the things that they did was to make Sunday the Sabbath instead of Saturday. Saturday will always be the Sabbath. Actually, the Sabbath starts on Friday.
It ends up,
it starts at 6 o'clock Friday night, and it quits at 6 o'clock Saturday night. All right, that is the Sabbath. The Catholic Church made the Christian Sabbath, and they had church on Sunday. All the other Christians outside of the Catholic Church, they worshiped pretty much every day. And they had services probably in people's homes and everything. The Catholic Church had large buildings and everything that they met in. Now, a lot of things changed between early Christianity and what happened in the Catholic Church. And that's what we studied as we studied down through church history. Catholic Church also took a pagan holiday and turned it into Christmas. What does Christmas mean? What does the name Christmas mean?
Something to do with Mass or something.
A Mass? What is Mass? It's Christ Mass, all right? So what is it talking about? What is Christmas? According to that word, what is Christmas?
What is Mass, Marilyn?
What is a Mass?
A Mass is of the Catholic Church.
Religious ceremony.
All right. What it is basically the Eucharist. They get up. They go for the rigmarole of all their little things that they do, the ringing of the bells and the swinging of the incense and everything. And then they have transubstantiation. They change the wafer into the body of Jesus and the cup, the wine, into the blood. And they say they really do this. And Mass is partaking of that. It's the congregation partaking of the body and blood. That's what Mass is. And on December the 25th was a pagan holiday. Up in Northern Europe, right now, what, Jacob? Is it pretty cold right now? Is it pretty cold outside right now? The last few days, has it been cold? Have you seen a lot of icicles?
Our dog's dish is frozen over.
All right. Yeah. Dakota, is it pretty cold out there? Every morning that you go out and feed the horses, she brings in several icicles. Some icicles a foot long or 6 inches or whatever, you know, big long. You can find icicles out there over a foot long in my place, all over the place. Well, in Northern Europe, during this period of time, around Christmas, and just before Christmas, Now, how many green fields do you think you're going to see at a time like this in the winter of the year, especially in northern Europe? What's on the fields? Nothing but snow and ice, okay? Right? We're getting a real hard taste of winter here in Bakersfield this year. We're seeing real winter. I mean, it's cold. It's below freezing most of the day anymore, all right? I mean, you can go out on my place and you can see ice out there all day long. But now before they had baled hay and cubed hay and rolled oats and all that kind of stuff, in the wintertime it's very hard to feed animals because you've got to save up a whole lot of feed during the year and feed the animals. In northern Europe, they would take all the cows, all of the pigs, all the sheep, and everything that were excess, except for the broodstock, and they would slaughter them. And they would take all of the grain that they had harvested, and they would make beer and wine from the grapes. They'd make all types of alcoholic beverages, and they would have an absolute beer bust and fallen down drunk for about 3 or 4 weeks, beginning around December the 25th. And this is the time of year that they had this great big drunken brawl. Well, the Catholic Church, when they brought in a lot of paganism, pagan ideas in the Catholic Church, to make the pagans happy, they'd let them celebrate their, at the same time of the year, they'd let them celebrate their traditional celebrations. All right? Well, so they said, well, we're going to say that Jesus was born on December the 25th, and we're going to, in place of all of this, now all these people are going to, every year on December the 25th, they're going to commence this business, the winter solstice and everything. They're going to commence drinking. They're going to go out and kill all their animals. They're going to roast them, and they're going to sit down and gorge themselves until they eat them all. They just have one big, long orgy and an eating feast for until all the food was gone. And they get fat and everything else. Well, when all the food was gone, guess what happened? They got to sit around and starve. That's not really the most intelligent thing to do, is it? But that's what they've been doing for a long time. In America, when they established America here, it was established by, well, on the West Coast where we live, the Catholic Church came over here and they established missions. And basically, they were all slave plantations, okay? From the 1400s on. All the slave plantations. And they forcefully brought the Indians in there to live. And any of those that were outside of the slave plantations were killed and murdered. All right? On the East Coast, England came over. And they started making contracts or treaties with the Indians. All right? And they started establishing churches and towns in different places. The first church town was the, where did they land? Who knows where they landed there? And they established that colony.
You mean Jamestown?
Plymouth Rock. All right? They landed at Plymouth Rock. They established these early towns. And everything they had, and the state and the church were one, weren't they? Well, they had decided beforehand that they would never celebrate Christmas in America. They weren't going to allow it here. We have a church state, okay? In America, it was not freedom. There was no freedom of religion in the beginning. It's just like the rest of the world. It was a church state, and they were never going to allow Christmas to be celebrated here in America at all because it was looked upon by many conservative Christians as a pagan, just absolute free-for-all for several weeks until they ran out of food and drank themselves into oblivion. They weren't going to allow that here. But in America, one good thing happened to Christmas. They started giving gifts to each other. And of course, the Christmas tree originated in what country? In Germany. And they'd have Christmas trees. It wasn't going to happen here. They weren't going to allow it to hear. But it started creeping in. America, after World War I, really started having Christmas trees in their homes. How was one of the ways that America was introduced to the Christmas trees? After World War I, what happened in World War I? What happened to World War I to the American and European troops? But American troops are over there in the trenches in Germany, in Belgium, France, all those areas over there, they were fighting with Germany. Well, Germany is the people that had Christmas trees, weren't they? Okay. What happened, Marilyn?
One of the German soldiers came out of the trench with a tree in his hand.
All right. In World War I, one of the German soldiers, during Christmas Day, on Christmas Eve, actually, he took a pine tree and they put little candles on it. And they lit the candles, and one of the soldiers stood up out of the trenches and held that tree up, and the light shining from it, and over on the other side, they were going to shoot him. The Americans and the Allies, they were going to shoot this guy. But they held off. And he came up there, and he kept waving this tree back and forth slowly so the candles wouldn't blow out, but they kept doing that. And something else happened in the trenches. What were happening in the trenches on the German side?
They started singing
Christmas hymns. Now, this is the enemy over here. In World War I, one of the guys gets up there. He risks his life to hold this tree up. Now, this isn't the good guys. This is the so-called the bad guys. All right? And he's holding the tree up in the air, and they started singing Christmas hymns. Well, some of the people in the Allies' trenches, they finally started singing with them because the songs would be in a different language. They could figure out what song it was by the melody. So everybody started singing together. Pretty soon, after a little while, one guy gets up, and they started walking over there, and they started shaking hands and wishing each other well. And these guys are in trenches now. Alright? They're in trenches. Going to kill each other. They've got loaded guns aiming at each other. And of course the commanders are sitting back there in the back and they're scratching their head. What are we going to do about this? They want to call a Christmas truce. This was the first Christmas truce that was ever called. And it was initiated by the Germans. They got up there and they went out. Have you ever heard of this, Brother Mike, at all? Have you ever heard of this?
Yeah, I think I heard
of
it.
Uh-huh. They got out there and they went on for a few days. And finally, one of the Allies, they got out there, they exchanged presents, they started talking about each other and their family, showing each other pictures of each other. And finally, one of the Allied troops, they told everybody to get in the trenches. And the Germans were still out there trying to make friends. They did not want to go back to fighting at all. They did not want to fight anymore. They saw that each other were both suffering in their trenches. They both loved their countries, and they both loved each other. And they were out there fighting because somebody told them to. One of the commanders pulled a bead and shot down and killed one of the German soldiers, and then it was back to war again. But that's basically one of the great ways that Christmas, the Christmas trees, and the lighted candles were initiated to these American troops. By the way, years later, some of those people went back, the survivors of the families and everything, and they would meet together on that holy ground, what they thought, whether it was the first Christmas armistice. All right. We're in. Did that answer your question just a little bit? Jesus wasn't born on Christmas Day. That came out of paganism. But as we have Christmas each year, and we have Christmas trees, and we give for each other's presents and everything, we can remember one thing. We don't go and kill all of our animals and have a big feast and start drinking until we run out of beer and wine. That's something we don't do now, do we? We sing Christmas hymns in church. We think about Jesus, that he was born into this world and all these things. So we have taken a bad holiday and somewhat turned it into something good. Because Jesus Christ did come and he did die for our sins. He was born in this world. And when we give gifts to each other, the great gift that God gave to us was His Son.
All right.
So not everything bad, everything about Christmas is bad now. But at one time, that was a pagan holiday.
All right.
Same like Easter, right?
It's the same thing as Easter. All right, the resurrection. All right. Back in church history. We don't have a whole lot of people here, but we're going to teach just like there's a whole room full and there are 10,000 people out there in the listening ground, because there sure will be. Last month on discovertheword.com only, there was 16,000 people listened. That's a lot of people. All right. We're into the 11 and 12 and 1300s. We've got Wycliffe, we've got Huss, and we're going to have Martin Luther here pretty soon, Zwingli. And what in the world was taking place during that period of time? Let's read. I've got a book here, John T. Christian's book on the A History of the Baptists by John T. Christian. And on page 61, it talks about the Albigenses here. The Albigenses. And Albigens, Albi means white, and Gensi means people, all right? White people. They're not so much white people, but they were pure people. They were people that's lives were changed. In the Catholic Church, now, in Christendom, all right? When I talk about Christianity, I'm talking about God's churches. When I'm talking about Christendom, I'm talking about all the rest of those out there that are going to church and doing their little thing, but they don't have a change of heart and life in themselves. God's churches always consisted of people that believed in Jesus. They were old enough, a church. Now, in the Catholic Church, when do you become a member of the Catholic Church?
When
you're born, they baptize you. Then you become a member of the Catholic Church. That's where we get the word Godfather and Godmother. Godmother and Godfather. Godmother and Godfather. What does a Godfather and Godmother do? What do they do? Why do you have a Godmother and Godfather in the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, Calvins and Calvinism and all that, Presbyterian? Why do they have Godmothers and Godfathers? What are they for? You know what they come for? What are they for, Dakota? You know? Mary Lynn?
They're kind of a substitute.
A substitute.
They stand up and say that you believe in the Catholic doctrines for you.
All right.
For the baby.
A godmother and godfather. All right. Here we have a godmother and godfather. There's somebody besides her mother or father, by the way. Well, the Godfather and Godmother, they could get up there and they said, do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church and all this stuff, and do you believe in them, and that Jesus Christ, do you believe in the resurrection, do you believe in the devil and all this kind of stuff, denounce the devil, and they say all this stuff, and the baby, of course, Jacob, do you remember when you were a baby? You remember when you had diapers? Do you remember before you could talk? Dakota, do you remember these things? Huh? Marilyn, do you remember those things? You remember being a baby? I do. I'm going to tell you. Mike, do you remember being a baby?
No, but I think Kathy says she does.
All right. I remember being a baby. I remember my grandma putting diapers on me and leading me around. I remember them dragging me around out there in the cotton field, sitting out there underneath the cotton bushes while they picked cotton and drugged me on the sack back there. I was still in my diapers. I remember them putting me out in a homemade playpen out in the backyard and be playing with the dirt and stuff out there and all this stuff. I remember this. I remember when I was trying to talk, and they kind of laughed when I'd talk, and I'd say funny things. A tree was a tweed. I remember that tweed. That's what I thought a tweed was. All these things, you talk baby talk. Well, there's a time you can't talk at all, and that's when a baby is a baby. An infant. Nepios is a word in Greek. Well, when a baby's little and they can't talk or anything else, that's when the Catholic Church baptizes them. So since the baby can't talk, you have to, if he can't confess his sins and can't confess that he believes in Jesus and believes in the Holy Spirit and the Father and all of this, and the Holy Catholic Church. Somebody's got to, if they're going to baptize him, somebody's going to answer for him, huh? And when they answer for him, that's a substitute, as Marilyn said, and they're standing there in substitution to him and answering for him or her because they can't believe and they can't talk. That's what the God Mother and God Father are about. It's kind of stupid. It's not kind of stupid, it's real ridiculous and real stupid. Because the Bible talks about people confessing their sins. You can't confess your sins and be baptized until you know. So you're old enough to know right from wrong and all of this. Well, when you go the wrong way, you do some stupid things. So this God Mother and God Father business is pretty stupid business. But then you get people in the church that are lost, don't you? That don't know Jesus. And you got people that don't know Jesus running the church. And you got people that are absolutely just doing it for what they can make or what power they can have over other people. And that's what the Catholicism was all about, the manipulation of the masses. But when you got dead people in the church, they do dead things. And they live like dogs. They live like animals. And that's what the Catholicism did. This book here, The History of the Evangelical Churches of the Valleys of Piedmont by Samuel Morland. Have you seen this? I know you want me to order one of these, and I'm going to do that. Okay, brother? It's two volumes now. Can't get one like this. Unless you can find it used. The Catholic Church went into the Valleys of Piedmont, and they are the very people that we're going to be talking about here, and they tortured them. Some of these ungodly men ravaged the women, skinned them, and took and made their skins and tanned them and made them into saddle covers and things. You know what? In the American history, one time there was a Methodist preacher. Can't think of his name right now. His first name was John. He went into the bars of Colorado and up in that country looking for volunteers for his army. He was going to go in and destroy the Sioux people. He was going to kill Sioux Indians. By the way, the name Sioux is a incorrect name to call the Sioux. It's the Sioux people. What is the name for them, Marilyn?
Cutthroat.
That's what the name Sioux means, is cutthroat. It's an Ojibwe French term which means cutthroat. What should you call these people? What is their real name?
Human.
The human beings. That's what they call themselves, human beings. And that means Dakota, Lakota, and Nakota. That's what it means. Most of the names for the tribes actually come from a term in their language which means the human beings. They're the ones of the human beings. They're humans. Okay? Well, almost said that guy's name. Chivington. Chivington was his name. Mr. Chivington went out. He got a declaration that said he was a boss and he could order these people. Well, he went into the bars and he went out into the outlaw divisions of people. And he gathered up his troops. And he told them they would get a certain amount of money and they could get everything that they could steal, rob, steal, molest, rape, or whatever. It was all legal when they were under his auspices. One of the terrible things that they did, they went to Black Kettle's. Black Kettle was a leader of the Sun Dance people. And it was in the wintertime. Chivington went out there. Remember, this is a Methodist preacher.
Yeah.
He went out there and he surrounded this village. And Black Kettle was under treaty with the United States government. He was not at war with the government at all. Matter of fact, above his teepee was flying an American flag. And he had a Medal of Peace around his neck. And they started firing howitzers and guns, 45-70s, and shooting as hard as they could shoot in this Indian village. And they killed almost all of them. This is what we call the Sand Creek Massacre. And they took those Indian women and they skinned them. And they made saddle covers out of their bodies and body parts. Just like the Catholic Church did back before. What causes mankind to do that? What causes that type of behavior? That's what we call a reprobate behavior. Someone that has denied the faith. They don't know God. Now, these people were flying on... This leader, Colonel Shivington, was a preacher besides that. Do you think that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
Do you think that he practiced anything that had to do with Christianity in all reality? He was a legal, ordained preacher. Now, back... In church history now, we're going to look at these Albigenses. It says this about their idea of what a Christian was. They said a Christian church should consist of good people. What do they mean by good people? A church had no power to frame any constitutions. And it was not right to take oaths. It was not lawful to kill other human beings. It's not lawful or not right to kill other human beings. A man ought not to be delivered up to the officers of justice to be converted. What in the world do they mean there? This is exactly what the Catholic Church had done here on the West Coast. You go out there and you gather a bunch of Indians up, for instance. And you take them out there and you hold a gun to their head and said, would you like to be baptized and become a member of the Catholic Church? If he said no, you pull the trigger. If he said yes, you poured water on him. That's how you make converts. That's the way converts were made in the Christian so-called crusades. Converts are not to be made by officers delivered up of officers' justice to be converted. The benefits of society belong alike to all members of it. Faith without works could not save a man. Isn't that what we're talking about in James on Wednesday night? You've got to have an experience of faith before you're going to get to heaven. And the experience of faith changes your life, doesn't it? God's Spirit changes your life. The church ought to not persecute any, even the wicked. The law of Moses was no rule for Christians. There was no need for priests, especially wicked ones. And they're not talking about ministers. We're talking about priests. Ordained to manipulate and to coerce people. They didn't need the sacraments or orders, or the ceremonies of the Church of Rome were futile, expensive, oppressive, and wicked. They baptized by immersion and rejected infant baptism. They only baptized people that could say that they had were converted and their lives were changed and make professions of faith. There were crusades against Baptists. On page 63 in John T. Christian's History of the Baptist, in the year 1139, he heard about these people. He heard about these people preaching peace. And the Pope was greatly alarmed and aggravated. And the people were condemned by the Lateran Council and by the Council of Tours in 1163. And a mission after mission was sent among them to persuade them to return to the Rome, the Catholic Church. Cardinal Henry in 1180 employed force. Pope Innocent III published a crusade against them. That happened in the Catholic Church, but it also happened in the Protestant churches. The Protestant churches, what do we mean by Protestant churches? Who are the Protestants? Who are the Reformers?
Well,
Lutheran and Calvin.
Zwingli. The people from all parts of Europe, moved by their superstition and their passion for wars and adventures, flocked to this standard. People want to kill. They want to taste blood. Why do people want to see bloody battles? I remember when I was young, it was a great thing to watch boxing on television. You could go, you know, they go to people's houses and they would watch TV and they'd have a boxer up on television, or you could listen to boxing. And what were these people doing? Who were the boxers back then? Joe Louis
and
Jack Dempsey. What were they doing? They had gloves on.
They were mashing each other's face.
They were hitting each other with gloves. But you know what? Today, we live in a gladiator society. That's not enough. We have wrestlers that are biting each other's ears off. We have boxers that are biting each other's ears off. And not only that, but they're wearing these little bitty gloves. And not only are they fighting with gloves, now they start kicking each other's heads off. And elbowing each other and trying to gouge their eyes out. They want to see blood splattered and splashed. Why? It's thrilling. Thrilling. The Count of Toulouse, who protected the perhaps only tolerated the Albigenses, was stripped to his dominions. These sectaries themselves, though the most inoffensive and innocent of mankind, were exterminated. With the circumstances of extreme violence and barbarity. They were skinned alive. They were burned. They were beheaded. They were pulled apart. What's the word drawn and quartered mean?
Tied to four horses.
Tied to four horses or four oxen. What do you tie to four oxen? One leg. Sometimes they even tied another one to their head. And they just pulled them apart. They whipped the horses and off they went in different directions and their limbs went, their guts flew, blood flew every place. This is the wonderful religious society that's ruling the world at this time. And they did it to convert them. They would have them standing in chains while they watched each one of them being pulled apart. You want to repent? You want to join the Catholic Church? Or are we going to put you down here? What's some way of conversion? And you know that most of these people, they weren't converted. They just, one after another, they pull them apart. One after another, they drown them. One after another, they burn them alive. One after another, they skin them alive. They cut parts of the bodies off.
Is that the time when they would put them on those stretchers and press them? And
they tortured them. In England, in Rome, in Spain, they put them on racks. They put them on these things, and they would take a crank or a windlass. They'd tie their feet at one end, and they'd tie their arms to the other end, and pull them apart. Or just cinching up a little bit at a time.
Is that book the Piedmont book you were reading just a minute ago? No, the one you were just reading?
Yes.
That's part of the Piedmont?
No, this is the Churches of the Valleys. This one here is a history of the Baptists. Do you have this one?
But okay. I got a two book Valley of the Bath. I mean History of the Baptist.
But from me?
Yeah.
This is volume one.
Oh, okay.
Volume one. Now, as you look on here, and what I'm putting down, if you're taking notes, just write down the page numbers and you can go back and read, okay. See if what I'm saying is true.
I was going to ask you what centuries the Piedmont book was written in, but I thought you were reading it out of that.
This was written real close to, I think it's 1658. I don't know for sure. Let me see. 1658.
Fox's Book of Martyrs was in the 1600s.
Yeah, that's back during that period of time. I had it also. But I wanted to tell you this because we're right in this period of time right now. This is the period of time we're talking about. All right. Let's go on a little bit. Some of them are going to have to get this by tape and whatever. Last week, I lost about half the class. In the Second Crusade, the first city captured was that of Beziers, okay, which had some 40,000 inhabitants. When Simon de Montfort, Earl of Leicester, asked the abbot of Cintenot and the papal legate what he was to do with the inhabitants, the legate answered, "Kill them all." How many people were there? Thousands. What are you going to do with the inhabitants? Kill them all. God knows His own.
What page is that?
This is on page 63. In this manner, the war was carried out for 20 years. 20 years of killing. Now, 20 years of killing. How long have you been a heavy equipment operator, Brother Mike?
Oh, maybe 20 years.
20 years? Can you imagine murdering for 20 years? By the end of that 20 years, you'd get pretty callous to people's dreams and stuff, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like Nazis.
Yeah. These are worse than Nazis.
Yes,
but these are this is the Catholic Same Church. In this manner, the war was carried on for 20 years. Town after town was taken, pillaged, and burnt. Nothing was left but smoking waste. Religious fanaticism began the war. Rapacity and ambition ended it. Peace was concluded in 1229, and the Inquisition finished the deadly work. The proof is overwhelming that the Albigenses rejected infant baptism. This was their terrible crime. They were condemned on this account by the Council of Toulouse in 1119 A.D. Also, it quotes the Ecclesiastical History of the Piedmont on page 150. The historians affirm that they rejected infant baptism. I cannot deny that the Albigenses, for the greater part, were oppressed, opposed to infant baptism. The truth is, they did not reject the sacrament of baptism. Baptism is useless, but unnecessary to infants. That was their great crime. But they were murdered and tortured and burned and pulled apart, skinned alive.
It's all kept from general knowledge of the public now in the modern world.
People know about this. Now, what really bothers me as a Baptist is that we are accepting Lutherans and Calvinists today as God's people. There are people in those churches that are saved. I'm sure they're saved. And Methodists, there's salvation in almost any church, but it usually is in spite of it. It goes on here and talks about Peter de Bruce. A well-known Baptist preacher of these times, sought about the year 1100 a restoration of the true religion. He told people that they needed to practice real Christianity. People in a church needed to be different from those out in the world. Now, these people that were out there killing and murdering and maiming and raping and pillaging and burning and stealing everything they could get their hands on were members of churches. They were all members of the Catholic Church. And they were practicing these things. I've got a confession here by the Lutheran Church of America. And I'm going to read this. The whole thing, I won't get to it tonight. I'm aiming in that direction anyway. Peter de Bruce called for a change of heart and that people ought to be saved when they're adults. They ought to not be added to churches when they're babies and continue to act like heathens when they're members of churches. Now, this is what he says. He held that the church was a spiritual body composed of regenerated people. Page 64. Bottom. The Church of God, says Peter de Bruce, does not consist of a multitude of stones joined together, but in the unity of believers that are assembled in a certain place. He held that persons ought not to be baptized till they come to the use of their reasons and their mind and faculties. In other words, what's he doing here? Rejecting infant baptism. Thus they rejected infant baptism, referring to Matthew 28 and 19 and Mark 16 and 16. He denied that children, before they reach to the years of understanding, can be saved by the baptism of Christ. The Roman Catholic statement of his of his belief, or that another faith could avail those who could not exercise faith, since according to them, the Petrobrusians, not another's, but their own faith saves them. What were they condemning here, brother? Remember what we just talked about tonight, godmothers and godfathers? What is a godmother and godfather doing? They're making a confession of faith for an infant. You can't make a confession of faith for anybody. You can only make a confession of faith for yourself, and you don't have any authority under God to make a confession of faith for anybody else, do you? No, not another's, but their own faith saves according to the Lord's word. He who shall believe and be baptized shall be saved, but he shall not believe shall be condemned. Infants, he continues, though baptized by you Roman Catholics, because of reason of age, they cannot believe, are not saved, and hence it is an idol and vain at that time to plunge them in water. By the way, they were baptizing by immersion, by which they wash away the filth of the body, and yet cannot cleanse the soul from sin. But we wait for the proper time when we can know and believe in Him. We do not rebaptize him who can never be said to have been baptized at all. They said their baptism, their rebaptism, their Anabaptist baptism was not rebaptism, but a baptism only. Because you were not baptized when you were a child. You just got wet, and somebody else made the confession for you, so therefore you weren't baptized. To have been washed with the baptism by which sins are washed away symbolically, in respect to the Lord's Supper, we not only rejected the doctrine of transubstantiation, but he also denied the sacrament clear actor of the rite, the character of the rite. In other words, it did not impute righteousness at all to anyone. One time, Calvin tried to prove and to seek apostolic succession to the Waldenses. He wanted to have some legitimacy to his faith because these were ancient believers. Their faith went back hundreds of years, thousands of years. And he tried to prove it to them, and they wouldn't have it. He wasn't part of them. They even called Calvin an Anabaptist. They even called Lutherans Anabaptists. But they weren't Anabaptists at all. They were reformers. They wanted to reform the Holy Catholic Church. What they wanted to do was be out from underneath the thumb of the Pope. And once they got out from underneath the thumb of the Pope, then they put their thumb on other people, and they oppressed others. And we're going to prove that later. The Arnoldist. Arnold of Brescia was born in the beginning of the 12th century and died about 1148. He was a student of Abelard in Paris and returned with lofty notions of Reformation in Italy. We have to realize that they talk about Reformation here. They're not really talking about reforming the Catholic Church, but establishing a church that is different from the Catholic Church. From one country to another, he was driven by persecution. He finally returned to Rome and led a patriotic attempt for the freedom of the country against the Pope. He was taken prisoner, hanged, his body burned, and the ashes thrown into the Tiber. That's what they did to people that didn't believe like they did. The Lombards. Lombardy. He said he founded, so his enemy said during the stay in Rome, a sect of men which is still called the heresy of Lombards to this day. They had great congregations of laboring men which formed such an important feature of the work of the Waldenses and the Anabaptists. The Arnoldists, like their leader, rejected infant baptism. The Arminians assert that neither through baptism in water do men receive the Holy Spirit, nor do the Samaritans receive it until they receive the imposition of hands. All right. The Arminians were termed Albigenses. A little later, they were called Waldenses. These were all the same people. Okay? The Waldenses and the Berengarians also. The Berengarians, these were all people in what we call the Middle Ages, in the 1100s, 1200s, 1300s. All right? Peter Waldo. Now, some people call the Waldenses after Peter Waldo, but the Waldenses, I believe, were called after the valleys where they lived, the Valenses, or the valleys. You can call the Waldenses from Peter Waldo, or the places where they lived, the Waldenses. Most historians think they weren't really named after Peter Waldo, but from the area where they came from. Peter Waldo, or Waldensius, or Waldensis, as he was variously called, the rich and distinguished citizen of Lyons, France, in closing decades of the 12th century, Waldo was at first led to study the Bible, and he made a translation of it, which he circulated. That sounds like a Baptist right off, doesn't it? Making a translation and circulating it among people and preaching the Bible. Of course, the Catholic Church was keeping that Bible out of people's hands, weren't they? The reading of the Gospels led to an imitation of Christ. In other words, they started acting like Jesus. Do you think Jesus will go out and start wars? Huh? Think Jesus would go out and start a bunch of wars? Did he ever talk about starting a war? Let me just... I heard it that time. I want to read something to you. This is a Southern Baptist Confession of Faith. I'm going to read something to you. I'm sure glad to put this in the Confession of Faith, even though sometimes we don't practice it. It is the duty of Christians to seek peace with all men on principalities and righteousness. In accordance with the Spirit and teaching of Christ, they should do all their power to put an end to war. The true remedy for the war spirit is the gospel of our Lord. The supreme need of the world is the acceptance of His teaching in all the affairs of men and nations, and the practical application of His law of love. Christian people throughout the world should pray for the reign of the Prince of Peace. Now, that's an old Baptist and a present Baptist statement of faith. We ought to practice it just a little bit better than that, I think. The reading of the Gospels led to an imitation of Christ. They gave their property to the poor. They began to preach in the city. They refused to cease preaching anywhere that they were expelled from Lyons. Taking their wives and children with them, they set out preaching on a preaching mission. The ground was well prepared for the Albigenses and the Cathari, as well as by the insufficiency of immorality in the Catholic Church. The insufficiency and immorality in the Catholic clergy. I said this the other day. Now, Martin Luther made a couple of three trips to Rome. And when he nailed that paper on the door of that church, it didn't have his really the 95 Theses, so-called. But what was up there, he wanted to discuss the sale of indulgences. He so detested this. He said on his trips to Rome, the closer to Rome he got was the closer to hell. The most ungodly, rapacious beings in the world were in Rome, in the Catholic Church, running the Catholic Church. He said that the closer to Rome he got, the closer to hell he got, in the attitude and the practice of the people there. He was kicked out of the Catholic Church and excommunicated because he died. He nailed that paper up there wanting to discuss the sale of indulgences. What is that, the sale of indulgences? The right for a person to buy the right to sin. Now, if you are really a saved person, if you really are a converted person, we all sin, don't we? Even after we're saved. But to be rapacious and rebellious and to want to buy the right to sin, that is an ungodly attitude in itself, isn't it? Well, it got him kicked out of the Catholic Church, but he just formed another society that basically did the same. And he became the pope of his system, and Germany became the state church, or the Lutheran church became the state church of Germany. And he exercised power over those people, and every place the Lutheran church was, they killed Anabaptists. And that is a historical fact that even the Lutherans admit. They murdered innocent people simply because they would not baptize babies. Thank you for your attention tonight. Hope you learned something. We'll wander on from here. We're going to read this confession of faith. This confession by the Lutheran Church next week about what we studied here tonight as we go on. And I'm telling you the pages that we're on so you'll be able to go back and get them. We finished on page 71, by the way, in the History of the Baptist by John D. Christian. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll just go out there and we'll greet the world.